Matthew chapter number 26, first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter number 26. This morning we'll read verses 36 through verse number 46 responsively. I'll begin reading on verse 36 and you'll join me. Verse number 37, we'll alternate like that all the way through verse number 47. Matthew chapter number 26, beginning in verse number 36, the Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and we are grateful for all that you've done for us. Lord, thank you for the word of God in our life and what it means. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for the people that are in it. Lord, thank you for the family that we have here. But Lord, we didn't come to spend time together necessarily, although we enjoy it. We didn't come to sing, although we enjoy it. We enjoy what the songs do for us. Holy Spirit, we're here this morning because we need something from you. We came to hear the word of God being preached. Lord, there's many here with broken hearts, with burdens, with challenges that they'll face this week. Lord, give us strength and comfort, guidance. Lord, convict where necessary. Folks that aren't saved, may salvation be received today. Lord, we'll ask that you'd fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. Fill us with that same Holy Spirit's power as we listen. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. I'll come back to the passage we've read, but let me have your attention, and I'd ask that everybody just be still and quiet. We're starting the sermon about 5-6 minutes late, but that's okay. I've adjusted it just a little bit so that you get home before midnight tonight. Man tries to be spiritual in all the wrong ways. Man seems to think that he has a body or a soul that can do spiritual things, and that by doing those things, he automatically becomes spiritual. Now listen to this very carefully. That could not be farther from the truth. Being spiritual is not in some man-made, spooky, hocus-pocus, man-made ritual or tradition. Being spiritual is not some version of going around and using holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, you know, Hail Mary, all the other things that we say, and walk around in spiritual, quote-unquote, clothing. And we think that we're spiritual because we can talk, O thou holy brethren. Gag. Jesus is facing Calvary. They have just left the table of what we know as the Lord's Supper, like we did this morning. He is in the Garden of Gethsemane, hours from being falsely accused and falsely tried and found guilty to death. He knows what awaits him. He's God. This is the purpose for why he came. All of this was so that he could get to Calvary and to the grave, so that he could conquer it and pay our sin debt. Jesus was not agonizing because he was afraid to die. We read in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, he said, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy wilt. I've heard many of preachers and many of theologians say, well, he was afraid that he could not face death. He wasn't afraid of death. Matter of fact, he knew he was going to conquer death. Amen. If you read the verses before, then you found out that he was in such agony over the fact that his perfection in him being God was going to be blemished by him becoming the sin of all men. He was about to bear on him the sin of the entire world, past, present, and future. That agony, he knew that God the Father and God the Holy Spirit would turn their back on him as he suffered, and he would suffer our hell for us. He was in such agony, knowing what was coming. The Bible says that he thought he was about to die before he got to Calvary. He was sweating great drops of blood. You say, preacher, how is that possible? You can look it up anywhere you want. It is possible for the human body to sweat blood. But when you do, you are as close to death as a person could possibly be. He was in such agony, knowing that he was about to die then, that he might not make it to Calvary. And he said, God, I don't want to die right now and start this all over, but if that's what you want, I'll do it. But I'd rather make it to Calvary. He wasn't asking to not die. He was asking to make it to Calvary. Now listen, after an hour of praying like that, he goes back. And then there are Peter, James, and John. You say, I didn't see James and John. Those are the sons of Zebedee. He brought Peter and James and John with him to the garden to pray with him. And after an hour, he comes back and there they are, slobbering on the pillows. He said, fellas, couldn't you just watch and pray with me 1 hour? And then Jesus makes a statement. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch this. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus leaves them and goes back and prays for another hour and comes back. And they're asleep again. He wakes them up and says, could you not pray an hour with me? I'm about to face Calvary. I'm about to cover your sin. Could you not pray with me 1 hour? He goes back and prays another hour. Comes in the wee hours of the morning and they're still sleeping. And he says, sleep on. How sad. They had a willing spirit, but their flesh was so weak, it could not become spiritual. Now watch this. We often wonder how these rascals could fall asleep at such a time. Could they not see the bigness of Calvary? How could they give in to sleep instead of giving Jesus what he needed? Let me ask you a question. How many times have we failed to be spiritual and given in to our flesh? How many times have we failed God and given into our own feelings and emotions. These weren't bad men. Matter of fact, they may have been three of the best men on the face of the earth at the time. These were the best of the disciples. These were the closest three to him. These will be the men to whom God said later would turn the world upside down. They saw virtually every miracle Jesus had performed in the last 3.5 years. They had eaten with him. They had heard every sermon he preached. They spent more time with Jesus than any other humans on the face of the earth or in world or universal history. They were not only there with him, but they were his friends. They were his assistants. These weren't backsliders yet. They weren't away from God. Yet here they are, not being spiritual, at a time that Jesus needed them to be spiritual. Let me ask you a question. Just what then does it mean to be spiritual? What does it mean? Can a sinful human be spiritual? How do we live a spiritual life? I don't want it said of me, nor do I want it said of you, that we have a willing spirit, but our flesh is weak. I don't want God to look down and say, "Preacher, you got a good spirit, but you aren't spiritual." What does it mean to live or be spiritual? Number one, it's review for most, if not all, but let me touch it quickly. First of all, God made us as a threefold creature. God made us with a body, a soul, and a spirit. Our bodies, that's this amazing thing you see in front of you today. Don't laugh, you hurt my feelings. At least I didn't say your body. This is the shell. This is our house. This is that which houses our soul and our spirit. Just a few weeks ago, we had Brother Jimbo's body here for a funeral. And I made the statement to Loretta, it's just a shell. I don't think you ought to hide children from death. I don't, because death is part of life. I don't think you ought to teach them to be afraid of it. It's natural. It's all going to happen to every one of us. I think they need to understand, Jimbo wasn't in there. That was just what was left of him. The rest of him was more alive than it's ever been here on earth. So God made us with a body, but he also gave us a soul. Now listen to this very carefully. This is where, and I'm going to use this term very loosely, religion has messed things up. Our soul is our emotions, our feelings, our personality. The soul of man is the personality and the feelings and the emotions, may I say, are our brain and our mind. It is who we really are. Brother Scott's soul is different than my soul. His body is different than my body. He's got more of it. Amen? And mine's a whole lot better looking. It's a good bit older too. Wait a minute. Shut up. It's a whole lot smarter too. Amen. All right. Gotcha. Guy with the microphone always wins. Now wait a minute. Our soul is our personality. Our church has a very unique soul. It's fun. You don't walk in and it's like a funeral home. You know, we don't have Brother Randy over there playing spooky music on an organ. You know, those pipe organ things scare me to death. Anytime I've been in a church like that, they got people buried in the walls or something. I don't want to go to church like that. If I want to go to church in a mausoleum, I'll go to the cemetery. I want to go to church where it's alive. Yeah, I'm around death enough. I don't want to go to church with people buried there, all right? Something just ain't right with that. I'm sorry. But our soul is our emotions, our feelings, our personality, our mind. That is not your spirit. Our personality is that which allows us to communicate with each other. Our body is what houses what we really are. But our soul is that which allows us to communicate with man. Now watch this. Then what is the spirit? The spirit is that which allows us to communicate with God. Now watch this. When we sin, our body doesn't die right away. Our soul does not die. But man's spirit died. That's why in John chapter 3, verse number 6, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh, body, is body, flesh. That which is born of the spirit is man's spirit. You must be born again. That's why Nicodemus says, you mean I got to get back in my mama's belly and be born again? Ain't doing that. He said, no, not physically, but you have to have a spiritual birth. Not a soul, a spirit. A person who is not saved has a dead spirit. They are only body and soul. By the way, your puppy dog, your cat, your bird, your fish has a body and it has a soul. My dog has a soul. She's a chick with an attitude. She is the moodiest little beagle you ever saw in your life. And when she doesn't like something, she lets you know. She'll turn her head and just do this at you. She has soul. But she's got a dead spirit. I hate to tell you, your dog is not going to doggy heaven. Just like your plant didn't go to plant heaven. Some of you sent it to plant elsewhere, but your soul will live forever somewhere. But an animal soul does not. God made us different than animals. That's why I rebel at the thought of humans are not mammals, we're human. Amen. Try a blood transfusion between you and your dog and find out what happens. Not going to work. Now wait a minute. That's why in Romans 8:16 it says that our spirit, we know that we're born again because his spirit dwells with our spirit. And we know that we are his. Now look at me for a second here. I gotta set this pretty strong here. Most religion is man trying to tell God with his body in his soul how God must accept man. Most religion is based on feelings and traditions and what your body does. Man thinks his soul is his spirit, and it is not. Man tries to impress God with his own goodness. Guess what? There is none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners. So, God made man body, soul, and spirit. When man sinned, by the way, we've all sinned. We have a dead spirit. It has to be reborn by salvation. At salvation, it is his spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We have been regeneticized, regened. Regeneration is the word regeneticize. The moment a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit of God indwells him and his spirit becomes alive and he is now body, soul, and spirit. You're not spiritual because I feel the music. Did you feel that? Mm-hmm. And I used to preach in some black churches down in the South. And I'm not against black people. You know that. I've preached more black people than most of you have ever met. But man, when they get going, they get with it. And you'll hear this often. Did you feel the Spirit? That they're trying to get religion with their feelings. That's the soul. Be careful of that mess. Everybody doing okay? Number two. I've got to hurry. Man measures spirituality by activity he thinks is spiritual. But most of it's done with the body or the soul, not with the spirit. Baptism is something God asked us to do, but it's not spiritual, it's physical. There is nothing spiritual about you obeying God. When Dad told me to take the trash out, he didn't care how spiritual I was. He just expected obedience. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And when you didn't, he said, okay, you have a choice. You can take it out and not be whipped, or I can whip you and you can take it out. You choose whipping or no whipping. I was smart enough to choose no whipping. I had an older brother. I saw what happened when you get whoopings, and I didn't like them. I had a few of them. I didn't like them either. The Lord's Supper, in and of itself, is not spiritual. Just because you did it did not mean you became spiritual. Everybody doing okay? Going to church doesn't make you spiritual. Reading your Bible doesn't necessarily make you spiritual. Don't get mad at me. I'm going to use some things that religion uses here just as an illustration. Praying with beads doesn't make you spiritual. Amen. Talking to a guy in a telephone booth and giving him money and telling him all the bad things you did, he can't take your sins on himself. He can't forgive you. That doesn't make you spiritual. Keeping the holy days and Lent and the holy cows and everything else doesn't make anybody spiritual. By the way, jihad does not make you spiritual.
Amen.
Fasting and praying doesn't necessarily make you spiritual.
Amen.
Putting brown robes on and hoods over your head and black belt and walking around in a monastery doesn't make you spiritual.
Amen.
Singing ooh all the time. Those people are weird. Fancy buildings with stained glass everywhere doesn't make some place spiritual. Jumping up and down, flipping and flopping and dancing, calling it being slain in the spirit, doesn't make you spiritual. Smacking somebody in the head saying, be healed, doesn't make you spiritual. Jibber jabbering in some unknown tongue and flopping around like a bunch of idiots doesn't mean you're spiritual. I could go on and on and on and on. By the way, dressing somebody up in a $1 million hat and a long robe and calling him Holy Father and dressed like a Holy Mother doesn't make you spiritual.
Amen.
I don't care if it's the Cardinal or the Cubs or the Pope. None of these things makes a person spiritual. Now listen to this. I can go to the mechanic shop to get my car fixed. Just because I go there and he fixes my car doesn't mean I know how to be a mechanic.
Amen. That's right.
Just because I went to the shop and got my car fixed doesn't mean you want me working on your car. Matter of fact, you don't want me working on your car. Amen, Brother Josh? Now, wait a minute. Listen to these statements. People get depressed. They get despondent. They get discouraged. Because they do all of this quote-unquote man-made spiritual activity, but as all they're doing is trying to do it in their body and their soul. And it does not satisfy. I didn't say many of these things are necessarily bad to do. But they don't make you spiritual. This is why most churches focus on the body and the soul, but not the spirit. Now listen to me very carefully. This preacher loves you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Amen. I am not about to stand here and lie to you. And I'm not here to tell you, well, just because it feels good, do it. That's a bunch of garbage from the stinking devil himself. Amen. That's why music ought to come from the heart to God. It's not to be a performance in church. Amen. By the way, we're not supposed to use the devil's music in God's house either. We have no right using rock and roll music that came right out of the pit of hell. By the way, the term itself is a crude sexual term. Well, we put God's words to it. That's like reading another version of the Bible, calling it God's holy word. Quit perverting the scripture.
Amen.
Quit perverting music. Hey, I'm not against faster moving songs. I like it. I like when Brother Randy gets with it over there a little bit. But guess what? Just because your toe doesn't go diggity, diggity, diggity dog all the time doesn't mean it's not spiritual music.
Amen.
And just because it sounded like it came out of a funeral parlor or an elevator doesn't make it spiritual either.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? That's why traditions should have no place necessarily, or very little place, in church. Traditions are about what you like, not what God likes. Well, I don't believe there are certain things we ought to do in church. Okay, don't do it. But guess what? This is the house of God. Everybody doing okay? God told us what to do and what not to do at church. He paid for it with his own blood. By the way, I don't believe church ought to become a ritual. That's why we're not going to do the sevenfold amens. Amen. 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 You get into all these Gregorian chants and everything else, and you know, kumbaya, and everybody flipping and flopping and swaying and holding hands, and you can go from one extreme to the other. Everybody doing all right? We're not going to do the conga line in church. You say, preacher, I've been in those kind of churches. Trust me, I preached in a church like that. I tell them, sit down. Not time for you to dance. Dance after I leave. Time for me to preach. You get right with God, dance at the altar, get on your face. Depression comes because the Holy Spirit convicts us, but we only respond with our body and our emotions, and we don't obey the Spirit. Did you know the Holy Spirit, one of his jobs is to make you feel bad? The word convict, do you know what that word means? It means you did something wrong and you're found guilty. You know, you're not supposed to go to church to feel good. Every once in a while, you're supposed to feel pretty bad. If you want me patting you on the head all the time, look out, because there's a foot coming right behind you. I'm not afraid to swing it either. Can I tell you why? Because truth is going to convict, and the Holy Spirit has to clean us up so that we can get closer to him. Oh, that's spiritual. Just because you feel bad does not mean you've changed how you live. I know a lot of Christians who get stirred. They'll come to an altar, cry crocodile tears, and say, I got right with God, and go back to their seat, go back to their car, go back to their home, and live the same way. They didn't get right with God. They had an emotional experience. They made a decision, but because they did not obey, guess what? They were stirred, but they weren't changed. So, the Holy Spirit convicts, and we only respond with our body or our soul, and we don't respond in obedience with our spirit. We allow feelings, emotions, and the pressure of life to dominate us, and we do not use our spirit to overcome. In other words, we actually thought that we were being spiritual when we were not.
That's
Religion focuses on feelings. Religion focuses on motive. Well, if you don't do this with the right spirit, you ought not do it at all. That's stupid. I heard a preacher one time say it this way, and I've said it many times from here. God commanded us to tithe. That's his. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's his. Well, God loves a cheerful giver. If you don't have a good spirit, you ought not give it. God said it's better for you to have a cheerful spirit. But can I tell you something? He'll take any old grouch to give it.
Amen.
It's not a matter of the church making money. It's a matter of you obeying.
Amen.
I didn't always obey with the right spirit, but guess what? I'm glad I obeyed. I'd rather have a child obey with a bad attitude than to disobey with a good attitude.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? The key is obedience. Now listen to this very carefully. God wants us to be spiritual. Now, number three, and I'll finish quickly here. We can only get to God with our spirit. Our body is that which houses what we are. It is the house of our soul, and if we're saved, our soul and our spirit. Now, my body goes everywhere I go. Well, I'll be with you in spirit. Don't do that to me. That's spooky stuff. You know, that's Casper the Friendly Ghost stuff. Or Ghostbusters or something. I don't know. My soul is that which allows me to communicate with you. But my spirit is that which allows me to communicate with God. You know, Johnny Cash doesn't impress God singing in a nightclub on Saturday night and in church on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? Singing in the honky-tonks on Friday and Saturday night and singing in church on Sunday morning. That's why the average church has honky-tonk music. Or rock and roll music. It's all performance to make the body feel good and you to feel good about your own stinking sin. John 4:24 says this, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't say anything about our soul or our body. Being spiritual, listen to this, number one is a relationship. Being spiritual is a relationship between God and you. Do you know what the whole purpose of Jesus being born in Bethlehem's manger, dying, shedding his blood, and resurrecting from the grave was? It was so that man and God could fellowship one with another again. Please don't take this the wrong way. We put too much emphasis on what we get out of salvation. God loves man, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But do you know why Jesus came and did it? So that God the Father could have what he originally wanted in us man. We were created to fellowship with him, but because of sin, it breaks that fellowship. He wants a relationship with you. Hey, I'm glad you're here at church, but just being at church does not make you spiritual.
Amen.
How is your relationship with God? I could go home from work every day, but not have a relationship with my wife. Everybody doing okay? I show her how much I love her. In a relationship, just because I'm there doesn't mean I love her. Everybody doing all right? Okay, now hang on. It's going to get worse. A relationship is communicating with God, not just doing things for God. Just because you provide for your family doesn't mean you're communicating with them. Anybody can go out and earn a paycheck, pay the bills. Doesn't mean you have a relationship with anybody. Please don't take this the wrong way. Just because you pay the bills doesn't mean everybody should communicate with you. It's your job to communicate with them. Okay, that one got a little tight. We won't take time to turn there, but in John 21, there's a story after the resurrection. Peter and James and John, the disciples, are out fishing. They quit the ministry to get back in the fishing business. They had toiled all night, caught nothing. Jesus is on the shore. He said, "Hey, fellas, did you catch anything?" Well, that's the worst thing to do after talking to somebody that's fished all night and didn't catch anything. "No, we didn't catch anything. Hey, cast your nets on the right side of the ship." They threw the nets over on the one net over on the right side, and so many fish filled it up, they almost broke the net. And Peter said, "Uh-oh, I know who that is." And he jumped in the water and swam to shore. He knew it was the Lord. You remember the conversation between Peter and Jesus at that time? Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." Then he said, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know, you just asked me." And I said, "Yes." He said, "Peter, feed my lambs." "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." But the verse before all of that says this. Now watch this. I love this. He said, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" These what? It wasn't the other disciples. He said, "Do you love me more than these fish? Does making money mean more to you than loving and having a relationship with me? Peter, do you love me more than these fish?" Let me ask you, Christian, how much do you love God? Do you love him enough to have a relationship with him?
Amen.
You see, Peter had left the ministry to go make money. He was afraid. And he said, "Peter, you got nothing to be afraid of. Do you love me more than a bunch of stinky old fish?" Being present is not a relationship. Communicating takes on the role of a relationship. I cannot see God, but I can communicate with him. Now, listen to me very carefully. He doesn't talk back in an audible voice.
"Hello."
Okay, people that talk like that, you know, Oral Roberts did not see a 700-foot Jesus. Hate to tell you, he just had bad pizza before he went to bed. And it never made sense to me why somebody who believed in faith healing had his own hospital. Something's not right with that picture. That's like the government saying this is for free. I cannot hear God talk, but he said, "Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Brother James, I don't have to hear him talk. He already spoke all the words I need to hear. Brother Greg, I don't have to hear him talk in an audible voice. He already said it. And it's put down in a Bible called the King James Bible for the English-speaking people.
Amen.
They are the very words of God himself. Now listen to this very carefully. Because I've been saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves inside of me. And the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, allows me to communicate with God. Now watch this. Being spiritual then is a relationship, and B, it is found in obedience to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never ask you to do anything outside of what the Word of God says. Some preacher gets up and says, I believe the Holy Spirit wants everybody to give up their paycheck for the next month and give it to God. They're a heretic.
Amen.
They are. But you need to learn to live by faith. No, you're asking their creditors to live by faith, not you. I believe if we'll just obey God, God takes care of what we cannot do on our own. If we'll obey God, he'll take care of the rest. Boy, have we not seen that around this place. So being spiritual is, first of all, a relationship, But second of all, it is our obedience to God and His Word. We exercise, listen to this, we exercise our spirit by doing spiritual things. But we are not spiritual because we do spiritual things. Did you know there's people all over the globe today going to church, but they're not spiritual? They're putting their time in. Some will put a few bucks in the offering plate. Some will light candles or talk to the guy in the telephone booth and go out and go do what they want for the next 7 days. There's no relationship, though they went to church. But it didn't mean they were spiritual. Now listen to this. Our obedience to do increases our spiritual strength. You can get a gym membership, but if you never show up, what good is it? You don't get any stronger. No comments from the peanut gallery. Going to church doesn't mean you're going to be a good Christian. But it is an exercise to strengthen your spirit. God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Well, I can be spiritual and not go to church. You won't be for very long. There is more to church than just being spiritual. It is the fellowship of God's people. It is the leaving of the world and coming out of the world to gather together where God said gather. I can't explain it all. I can just tell you if we obey it, you'll be a stronger spiritual, more spiritual person. Did you know just reading your Bible does not make you a spiritual person? Do you know I've met lost people that have read their Bible? It doesn't mean they're spiritual. I know lost people who pray. And I don't care if you do the hokey pokey or whatever. It doesn't make you spiritual. I know people who tithe who aren't spiritual. I've watched several wealthy people. I know one in particular I'm thinking of. You wouldn't know who this is. Nobody in this room would know. This man has given millions of dollars to churches. He's lucky if he shows up at church once a month just to give his tithe check and leave. I'd say he's not very spiritual. Now, I believe God's using his money in a good way. But I wonder how much more God could use it if he'd become spiritual. The giving of the money at church doesn't make him spiritual. Everybody doing okay? Amen. Just because you witness and get the gospel out doesn't necessarily mean you're spiritual. But I promise you this, the more spiritual you are, the more you'll want to get the gospel out. Right. Our obedience to do builds a character to keep the relationship with God open. Part of going to church is building spiritual character in someone. Part of reading the Bible is building spiritual character in someone. Do you realize that, good night, back in 40 years ago, I had an English teacher in a Christian high school who challenged us every day. We had to write down how much Bible we read and how many minutes we spent in prayer every day. And every week we had to turn that in on Monday morning. Whew, I remember the first week. I had a few days of Bible reading on there and a couple minutes of prayer each day. I thought, it's hot snot on a silver platter. She said, pretty good, Craig, 4 days. But what about the other 3 days? I was busy. You know, every week, Brother Mike, I had to turn that into her. You know, after a couple weeks of turning that thing in, I started getting convicted. I thank God for a lady named Becky Hartline who taught me to read my Bible every day. You know how many people I've helped with that very thing over the years? New Year's Day. She texted me and she said, Craig, make sure you stayed read up and prayed up. Oh, 41 years later, she's still reminding me. I thought, I'm going to stick it to her this year. I said, Becky, I said, just so you know, my casual reading, I read through the Bible almost 4 times this last year. I can't tell you how many countless hours of prayer, countless hours of study. And I said, I owe it all to an English teacher. You. Thank you. Reading the Bible didn't make me spiritual, but making myself accountable built a character to where I don't do it for Becky Hartline, I do it for him. I do it so I can clean me up, so I can get closer to him, so I can help more people. How about you? Our obedience to do what God commanded us to do builds a character to keep us more able to be spiritual with what we do. Now listen to this, and I'm done. I've been married 32 and a half years. The obedience in married life keeps the relationship sweeter. I don't live expecting my wife to do anything. I live wanting to do things for her. You know, I don't expect my wife to do anything. If she decides to put the couch in front of the door when I come in, she knows I'm tired when I come home, I guess. I'll crawl over it. I'm not going to complain. I might say, that's a little different. As long as I can get in, who cares? You say, preacher, I really wouldn't complain. Well, that's not what you want. It might not be what I want, but the inside's hers, the outside's mine. Quit complaining about how I mow the grass or where I put the flowers. It's that simple. And wait a minute. Did you know my wedding vows are so far below where my wife and I live? That ought to be the beginning, not the end.
Amen.
That's why it starts your marriage out with, not end it with that. Galatians chapter 6, and I wished I had time, I won't. But let me read just one verse to you. I'd like to read the first 6 verses to you, but Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1 says this, Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Okay, look at me and I'm going to read this and make 2 more comments and I'm done. God says, ye which are spiritual, restore somebody that's overtaken in a fault. He didn't say expose them. He didn't say get up and tell everybody what they did wrong.
That's right.
He didn't say criticize them. He didn't say try to determine if they're saved or not. He didn't say judge them. And he didn't say punish them. He said, ye which are spiritual, restore them.
Amen.
Just like God restored you and your sinful, sorry self. Spirituality restores, Pharisaism exposes and criticizes. We get spiritual by obedience to the word of God. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Thy word is truth, O Lord. In other words, we're spiritual when we live that book. Being spiritual is not spooky music, fancy pageantry, traditions, or a tingly feeling. Being spiritual is our obedience to the Word of God and our communication with Him. We ought to obey the word of God so we can clean our life up so that we have a better communication with him. The things we do that are spiritual are exercises, watch this, to make our spirit stronger so that our body and our soul do not supersede the spiritual. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Therefore, we must feed the spirit and starve the soul and starve the body a little bit. Some of us could starve a little longer. You see, the reason a lot of people don't stay in church is because it's not appealing to their soul or their body. But it takes spiritual character to be spiritual. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hate to tell you this, but you don't even have a spirit. It's dead. It needs reborn. It's not some emotional experience. The lights aren't going to flash. The world's not going to flip-flop, and you're not going to feel it. It's just an obedience to realize, first of all, that we're all sinners. That because we're all sinners, we all deserve a place called hell. But Jesus Christ came and paid that sin debt for us. And that all we have to do is trust what he did and that alone to take us to heaven. It's not joining a church. It's not being baptized. It's not doing the Lord's Supper. It's not anything we do. It's everything he did for us. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.